Are you ready to explore living life with greater ease, more joy, and doing what you love to do? Imagine That Coaching can help you discover possibilities, direct connect you to your personal passions. Visit www.dianesturner.com or call 847-824-6949. Imagine That Coaching, connecting person to passion. 847-824-6949.
Think of any better way to start up the show than to welcome Diane Turner from Imagine That Coaching, our possibility coach. Happiest of holidays, Diane.
Thank you, Zara. So nice to be here on this at this time of year.
In particular,
yes.
Isn't it? For those who haven't followed our show here recently, Diane is a new broadcast partner with us, relatively. A brief intro, she's a private practice psychotherapist from Chicago and is also a certified life coach under the banner of Imagine That Coaching. And as we say, she's our possibility coach here on Circles of Change. Earning a BA from Tulane and a Master of Social Work from the University of Illinois, she's also a licensed clinical social worker. And for 30 years now, her practice is focused on working with individuals, couples, and groups on personal growth and expansion by using a very strength-based focus. So, of course, I couldn't think of a better time as well for us to catch up with you than right before the turn of the year.
I think it's a fantastic time to be talking to people about what it is that they want to carry forward this year and what they want to leave behind.
That's exactly right. And that means not just throw it in the closet and lock the door, but really retire it, right?
Yes. And actually, what do you actually physically want to leave behind? So are there things that could be given away, donated, repurposed, or tossed? Mm-hmm. And are there things that perhaps you might look at in a different perspective? Things that you hadn't really taken a look at before.
I know one thing I do with individuals who go through the tough experience of losing their jobs is to, when they bring those boxes home,
yes,
to actually get a nice box and carefully package everything in there, put a big red ribbon on it even, and even a little tag, you know, to myself, but then go put the boxes out of sight. And then trusting that at some point in time, they'll open up those boxes and only pull out the things that engender the real positive things that might have happened during that that experience that you're with.
I think it's interesting to start from a physical perspective because that's so tangible and it's a place that's easy for people to start. And it can take us into other realms. It can really take us into something more energetic or something more emotional so that, as you said, as they open that box and they look at what's in there, one would hope that it would engender something positive inside of them, remembering a colleague or a project that they worked on or something they felt particularly good about. So that's what you want to carry forward, is you really want to carry forward the energy of what was working this past year and leave behind the stuff that didn't work so well, or use it as an opportunity to inform you about how you can transform it or it can transform you moving forward into this new year.
Now, there are situations, though, where you have two boxes. The one box where you put all the positive things and the other box where maybe there were the negative things, to which case I always say, well, we could still go get a big tractor and go run that box over or have a ceremonial bonfire and just kind of put it to rest in that fashion,
well,
too.
And actually, at this time of year, in many cultures, ceremony is exactly how they acknowledge the shift from one part of the year to another. As you know, I've done a lot of shamanic work and work with altered states. And so I was thinking the other day that this is the darkest time of our year because the sun is in the light is the shortest. And we're coming, we've just passed the solstice, and we're coming up on a time where we typically light up our environment with artificial light. Mm-hmm. So the question is, are there things that we could create some ceremony around, we could leave behind with actually using, in a safe way, using fire or ripping something up and shredding it, mm-hmm. or creating some kind of ritual for yourself that moves you forward and acknowledges the things that didn't work, but it really creates a way of putting them, separating yourself from them in a more concrete way.
Well, I know you maintain two residences between Chicago and Tucson.
I do.
And we, of course, as a family, moved here from Connecticut coming up on 8 years ago. And so, and I also made a major shift from a career standpoint.
Yes.
So every year, this time of year, I go into that closet and decide, okay, what am I going to donate? What really haven't I worn in the last year that would be indeed a delight for someone else? But, you know, I still have that row of navy blue gray suits that I would never dream of wearing here in Tucson, but yet I can't bring myself to donate them. So what's with that, do you think? Because I don't think I'm going to turn myself back. Well, maybe I am. I mean, every now and then I do take a business trip back to the East Coast, and I should dress appropriately and not quite wear my turquoise jewelry and my cowboy boots.
Yes.
Although I still try to wear my cowboy boots with the black suits, but or the dark gray or navy blue. But I still keep asking myself, why can't I part ways with those things? Are they just trophies?
Well, don't you think there's an emotional connection to that time in your life?
Absolutely.
I mean, it was a time where you had an image of yourself that those suits might represent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That there's an ego part of you that said, oh, this is a time when, you know, going to work meant dressing up in a certain way and I was acknowledged in a certain way. So what if you looked at those suits and you actually did that for yourself? You really stood there and maybe created a little ceremony with those suits and said, you know, thank you so much for reminding me of a time in my life when I felt successful, or when I felt that I was learning something, and these suits represented that time in my life.
And with tremendous gratitude, by the way,
yes,
as well.
Because
I couldn't be doing what I'm doing, or even be able to relay with individuals like you in different ways.
Yes. I think there's a possibility there to, and an opportunity to really look at that time in your life and say, okay, wow, well, where was I then? Mm-hmm. And where am I now? And, you know, take a look at those cowboy boots, and then take a look at those suits, and go back and forth, and maybe even make a game of it. And really, it could be quite fun to think about that. It's a little bit like looking at a scrapbook. So you're never going to throw those old pictures away completely.
You're
because
right.
They remind you of something, an experience that registers in your body. And that can be a very powerful experience.
And you would say, by the way, it's something that if someone was going to look at that segue between 2011 and 2012, that would be a very healthy experience.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. So you may have had a fabulous year in 2011 and feel a little guilty about asking for more in 2012, or you may have had a really, really tough year in 2011 and still feel guilty about asking for more in 2012. So then you have to take a look at is not so much the details of what happened, but what is it that you actually could shift that would move you into a better place? And can you create some gratitude around, okay, here I am. I'm going into 2012 and I'm still upright and I'm still healthy and I still have options and I still have places in my life where I have abundance, and move yourself into that place of gratitude. And I think that's what this time allows us, is that place of gratitude, that space and time where we can take a look at where we've been, where we are now, and see if we can envision where we would like to be next year. So when you look at that scrapbook next year, what are those pages that you've added? What photos would you like to see in that book? I often will do this with couples when they're having difficulty, and I'll say, okay, so looking at your marriage 5 years from now, what is it you want to be able to look back and see? Mm-hmm. So not even 5 years, but a year from now, December of 2012, what do you want to look back and see? And maybe it's that you still see those suits, or maybe those suits have been replaced with something else, or who knows? It's anything's possible.
And in fact, many of you that work in this place of possibility is that if you can actually write that down and almost put it in a time capsule.
Yes.
And then have the joy of opening up the capsule or the scrapbook a year from now, how many of those things will probably have manifested or be
yes.
on a path to getting there. And if anything, by your boldly putting it there, your subconscious and other things in your life start happening to draw you in that direction.
It's a little bit like the difference between setting a goal and setting an intention. So
we better talk about
yeah,
that.
So
be clear on this.
People
What's
talk
the difference?
About setting intention, and a lot of people don't really understand what that means. For me, setting an intention essentially means directing your energy towards something that you can envision. And it is not just a something in your head, some decision that you've made. It's really a full body experience. When you're able to do that, so for instance, if I have an intention that next year I want to create more physical health, better physical health for mm-hmm. myself, so that's a real concrete something that I wanted to do, then I have to hold myself accountable to that. And the decisions that I make need to line up with that intention. So, for instance, if I make a decision to get enough rest, that's going to move me closer towards better physical health. If I make an intention to exercise, but I never do, then clearly I'm operating from a place of contrast, and I need to look at that. I need to say, well, do I really want increased physical health, and does that include physical exercise? So the intention is like a bullseye on a target. And when you look at that bullseye, everything starts to organize to move you closer to the bullseye. And so actually it doesn't require a lot from you other than to stay focused on what it is that you want.
So that makes sense, as opposed to declaring that I will reduce my cholesterol, combined cholesterol count by 40 points. I mean,
right.
For those of us that are engineers and numbers driven and statisticians and so on, it's, you know, in God we trust, but all others have to bring data. So instead of saying I'm going to lower my cholesterol score, really, what does that lowering your cholesterol score mean? It means I'm going to be more restful, or I'm going to have a higher energy.
Well, what would be involved in lowering your cholesterol?
All the same very things, but by framing it a different way,
right.
You've got some other magnetism to make it happen.
And there are those of us who have many, many times set goals for the new year. And the fact is that we set the goals and 2 weeks later we've forgotten about the goals and we've moved on to something else. So this really is a commitment to something. And what I recommend is that people do something in a concrete way to reinforce that. So perhaps when you're sitting around your holiday table, you declare what it is that you would intend for yourself for the new year, and you make a public statement about that. And maybe somebody writes that down and emails it to the group mm-hmm. so that you're on paper, you're on record saying, that's what I want this next year. Or perhaps you create a visual image of what it is that you want, and you begin to remind yourself on a daily basis by looking at this image. And out of, in the business world, in the corporate world, it's often called a vision board, or for some people it's a gratitude journal. It can happen in so many different ways. It could be a photo album, it could be around a mirror, it could be a bulletin board, it could be something with magnets, it could be lots of different ways that you manifest this. But if you look at those images every single day, even just for a few minutes, you are basically putting your order into the universe and saying, this is what I want. Please help me to move myself towards that.
Well, the other piece of course, declaring it publicly, particularly if it's amongst people that you trust and you really want to commit with them to do this, that they'll keep you honest, and they'll also help support you for the times that you're going to have setbacks, because we're all going to have setbacks.
That's right. And part of this is also recognizing that in those setbacks are opportunities to recalibrate, to retune a little bit, to say, is this still my intention? Has that changed at all? Perhaps the intention was too global and I need to narrow it down a little bit. So there is something to be said for that.
Back to the example, Diane, of your working with couples
yes.
that are struggling with something.
Yes.
Can you give us an example, you know, obviously without revealing names, of how you helped them construct an intention like this and how they brought that to life then in the course of the year or 2 years?
Working with couples is interesting because you can have two people who experience the same circumstance in a very different way.
Right,
so it's
right.
almost as if they were not in the same place at the same time. So part of it is clarifying their perspective on a particular situation and identifying a core value or something that is meaningful to them. So really asking them, so what would success in this area look like if this were to have happened? If you could accomplish this, for instance, if you want just better communication, which how many of us don't want better communication,
our spouses,
or
yeah,
more
partners.
Connection in some way, to really clarify, well, what would that look like for you? What would that mean for you, more communication or more connection? And then to start to narrow that down in a way, chunk it down so that people could begin to understand what their partner is saying. Then I will often have them acknowledge what it is they're hearing so that the person on the other end knows, okay, I have communicated this clearly, and you know what it is that I'm saying. The next step might be creating a vision board for their marriage so that you would have each one of them contribute images or words or phrases that move them closer to what it is that they've declared.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back and revisit that time and time again to see, are we still on target? How is this happening? Have you noticed anything that's changed over time? And it's pretty powerful.
Very powerful. And in fact, in particular for those in the baby boom generation, many of them now stepping into their mid-50s to mid-60s, that right now, sadly, one of the highest, fastest rates of divorce is occurring in that group nationwide,
right,
in the U.S. And a lot of it comes down to the fact that, you know, all the stress is around what is retiring, or even what does that word look like. And in absence of having, number one, the channels for communication, couples are getting out of step with one another.
I also think because we often live so long, that we have these opportunities during our lifetime to developmentally take a look at where are we headed and is this it? Are we done? You know, and so many times, because I'm in that age group, so many times we take a look at what we've accomplished and again, can we envision what's next for ourselves?
Oh, and there's no doubt about it for me that actually that happened 10 years ago for
right.
me, the days of the suits, where I felt this welling inside of me of, am I done? Is this all there is? Or there's got to be more. And I think part of the challenge was not knowing what it was going to be like without the suits or the other trappings that I had otherwise. And don't get me wrong, I'm very proud and
right.
pleased to have that in the background. So I think part of our challenge is this living in possibility. It's the possibility of what? And part
right.
of it is it's okay to not know.
Well, and as we've talked about in the past, there is this period of not knowing, which is so fertile, and it can be such a creative time if we can tolerate that place of not knowing. And honestly, whether we think we can tolerate it or not, we're always there a little bit because there's all this possibility constantly.
That's right. Well, before we run out of time, Diane, let me ask the $10,000 question for the day.
Yes.
And that would be, so what's your personal intention for 2012?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that, Sarah.
It's a setup.
That's right. So I think for me, moving into the decade of the 60s, my intention is to achieve the best possible physical health that I can. And in addition to that, expanding my business so that I can embody and live what it is that I want to teach, which is to help people create the most ease and the most possibility in their lives.
So that would mean this time next year, when we have an interview with you, you'll be able to tell us about what special workshops that you're envisioning right now?
I would like to be able to say that I have run possibility workshops both in Tucson and Chicago. I'd like to be finished with my book by this time next year and have it out and available. So, yeah, there's a lot on the docket for me.
So this is easy because, you know, now I got you on tape.
That's right.
Right. And so this year from now, we'll be able to, where you publicly acknowledge it, we'll play this back on the air. Mark
right.
my words. On Christmas Eve of next year.
Perfect.
To see if you got Diane Turner, please, how can individuals get in touch with you if they're interested in continuing this conversation to help their lives?
They can get in touch with me by checking my website at DianeSTurner.com, or I now have a toll-free number. It is 866-398-8877, or they can email me at imaginethatcoaching@gmail.com.
Very good. Well, again, happiest of holidays. Thanks for giving your time on this blessed day, and we'll look forward to collaborating in the new year.
Thanks so much, Zara.
You bet.
Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.